We're continuing with Hillel. Hillel came from Babylon. Hillel learned under Shmaya and Avtalion in Babylon, and he came to Israel. He was known as Hillel Abavli, Hillel the Babylonian. He was poor. You know the story about Hillel cutting the wood in order to fund his family? Hillel was very poor. And every day he would go to the forest and cut wood, and then he'd come back and sell the wood. And with the money he made, he'd support his family, and he would pay the fee in order to enter the academy of Shmaya and Avtalion. And one day there were no buyers for his wood, which was very strange because there was a storm brewing. But I guess they bought their wood from other people. He couldn't find buyers for his firewood. So he went to the Beis Medrash, and they didn't let him in. So Hillel went to the roof, and he put his ear by the skylight, and he started listening to the learning. And he was very focused on what was going on, and he didn't notice that it started snowing. And he is listening to the learning, and the snow is falling. And he is very focused on what's going on down below, and the snow is falling. And he didn't realize that he got frozen over by snow, and downstairs there's learning, and he lost consciousness under the snow. And suddenly, he lost consciousness and dropped on the skylight, and they noticed in the Beis Medrash, it's really dark in here. What's going on? So they looked up to the skylight and they saw the shape of a body. So they ran up to the roof and they dug him out of the snow and they brought him down next to the fire until he recuperated. And that's one of the famous stories of Hillel's dedication to learning. But as he's learning, he's so focused, he didn't know that it's snowing and he's losing consciousness. Yes. Sure. Yeah. No, he was still already a top student. So Hillel taught some of his teachings in Babylonian. He came from Babylon. He used to frequently say, Negid Shema, someone whose name has spread out, he's become very famous, Avad Shemei. His name's going to be lost. Don't think that fame is forever. Negid Shema, whoever's name becomes famous, so then you should know that usually that means his death is near. It says Yosef. Yosef became the great leader of Egypt, so he died before all his brothers. We have a verse in Mishlei, Lifnei Shever Gaon. Just before a person gets broken, they go up. A person has to know, we sometimes feel like when we're on the up, then we're invincible. Nothing bad could happen to us. There always things could happen. So, Negid Shema, a person has to be very careful, specifically when they feel like everything's right, so people become overconfident. That's when they have to be very careful. I remember I was once meeting with a businessman and he told me the following occurrence. He said he tried to make an order from a certain company and the woman in the company said, I don't know your line of credit. I can't give you such a large order before checking out your line of credit. And he decided she wasn't talking respectfully to him. And he said to her, I have so much money I could bury you in money. And I remember listening to him say that line and thinking to myself, you shouldn't talk that way. Chazal warned us that when a person feels confident, that's a moment before they're going to be broken. And within a year, the guy couldn't afford to buy a new pair of shoes. He told me a year later, he said to me, you know how my business took a change for the worse? I can't even buy shoes for myself. I'm in such debt, everything's destroyed. He said to me, a year ago I was in a different place, you know where I am now? And I didn't want to tell him, I'm not surprised. Chazal warned us, even when things are going good, we have to take a step back and not be so confident. The Pasuk says, Lifnei Shever Gaon. Just before a person breaks, he's at his prime in his mind. That's when a person becomes arrogant. When a person becomes arrogant, that's a sign that he's about to fall. So, when he becomes overconfident and complacent. Negid Shema, when one has great fame, like Yosef became the great leader of Egypt, Avad Shemei, then he also should know that that is his downfall. Yosef became famous, so he died before all his brothers. This is true outside the home. I'm going to tell you a secret that no one wants to admit to, no man wants to admit to. But maybe if we're aware of it, we'll have more tools to deal with our own weakness. There are all kinds of classes for women on how to develop their marriage, on building their shalom bayis. Whenever there are classes for men, if I can, I attend. I always feel like I have what to learn. And very often I do. I learn a lot. What you guys are getting here is a product of what I've learned from books, but also what I've learned from classes. I attended Rav Simcha Cohen's classes, and I attended other classes. I was in a kolo once, and they started a class on shalom bayis. So I went. So people looked at me. They were all younger than me. They said, "You're going?" I said, "I could learn. Why shouldn't I learn? If he has what to sell, I could learn." And when I had to stop the classes, I recorded them, and I followed them online. I followed them on recording. So my wife, I encourage her, whenever she can, she should attend. So my wife told me this week that the class she attends has one theme that the Rebbetzin keeps telling them. She keeps telling them, men need honor. Men need honor. You have to honor them. They want honor. That's what men want. So no one wants to hear that, right? We all want to say, "No, I don't." So I told my wife, "Sure, we all do." I said, 100%. Men need honor. Yeah, that's what men need. Men need to feel like they're being honored. It's a weakness we have. It's not a strength, but it's a weakness we have within marriage, that we have this huge, insatiable need to feel like she honors us. And it's a very different need than the woman's need. Now, why is it important for us to know? You'll tell our wives that. No, it's good for us to know our weaknesses too. Because then when things happen, and we tend to view them in that realm, I'll give you a few classical lines that go on in a house, okay? "But I said..." Okay, you hear yourself saying that line, it doesn't matter what it is you said, you should ring that bell and say, "It's about my honor. Maybe I should tone myself down." Whenever you hear the "I" in a major way in a sentence that you're saying as a man, and you'll notice women rarely say that. With women, it's rarely about "I said." With men, it is. So, we speak about honor outside the house. Hillel warns us, not good for you. Inside the house, a person has to know that you don't usually lose from humility in the house. I've seen the other way around. People sometimes feel like I'm losing my own identity if I give up on my honor. And it's the other way around. You're acquiring your identity. When people fight for their honor, so then people don't want to give it to them. When people are happy to give honor, and they're not fighting for their own honor, so then they find themselves being respected. Honor is the type of thing you can give. You can't really demand. Except from your kids. From your kids, you do have to demand it. It says about many giants of Jewish history that they were very humble in their home. Starting with Hillel. when his wife kept him waiting 2.5 hours for an important lunch meeting that he agreed with her, he'd come home with an important person, he didn't say anything. You know the story, right? Hillel had told his wife he was coming home with someone important, and they were coming home for lunch. So he shows up, and she welcomes them, and they could smell all the delicious food from the kitchen, and they sit down, and 1 hour passes, and 2 hours pass, and tremendous amount of time passes as they're sitting there waiting, and finally she comes out with the food. So Hillel says to her, BT, which literally means my daughter, but it was their way of showing affection, my beloved, what happened today? So she said to him, well, I had all the food ready when you walked through the front door, but a poor man knocked on the back door, and he had an emergency. And I knew you would rather I give him the food for his emergency than I bring it to you. So I gave him all the food I prepared, and I started from scratch. I cleaned the meat, I washed it, I baked it, everything I did from scratch. And that's the meal you're getting now. So he blessed her. But now I'm going to ask a different question. Imagine your own home, fast forward a number of years. You made up with your wife a certain time that the food will be ready. You walk through the front door and the food's not ready, and she doesn't come out to explain. And hours pass as you're sitting there with a guest. Think about it. She had to prepare the food from scratch, right? How long does that take? Ask yourself, how would you react after 20 minutes, after 40 minutes, after an hour and a half? And when she finally came out and gave you a good explanation, how do you react? So Hillel was very, very, very humble. Hillel, being the leader of the Jewish people, was very, very humble. This was a hallmark characteristic of Hillel. And when people are humble, so then their family can do what's right. When people are scared of their husband or of their father, then they have a hard time doing what's right. One of the things we try to achieve in educating our kids is that they should feel comfortable talking to us. Is your child going to tell you what really happened? Or are they going to keep it hidden from you and then you only discover it when it's already a huge problem going on? Well, that depends on how comfortable they are talking to you. So on the one hand, children have to have a certain respect for their parents. On the other hand, the overwhelming feeling they should have is love and acceptance. Unconditional acceptance. The principal calls you and tells you your son took a rotten tomato and threw it in his face. What are you going to do? So you have to deal. And there also has to be an underlying, unwavering love. That has to be a given. The fact that the child gets reprimanded or whatever, however you have to react, cannot be on any level a room of doubt how much you love him. I'll end with an example. I went with our eldest son to buy him a belt before school. So they have belts today for 20 shekel, 40 shekel, 100 shekel. So he told me he wants the most expensive belt. So I said, what makes this belt better than all the other belts? Why is it more expensive? So the seller told me it's well worth your investment. It's made of solid leather. And it'll last him maybe till his wedding. So I said, if it's such a good belt, and it'll last him for years, so then it makes sense, because I know myself that my belts last about 6 months, 8 months. They don't last that long. If this belt will last him 5-7 years, then even though it's costing me 3-4 times the regular belt, but in the long run it's worth it. I said to him, I'm willing to buy you the belt, but you understand that I don't plan on buying you another belt of this value for a very long time. This is supposed to last you now at least for 3 years. So he said, yeah. I said, if that's what you want, fine. We have a deal. We bought the belt. Fine. 8 months passed and the belt's broken. So I was very upset. Not at him. It's not his fault. What did he do wrong, right? But I felt bad that here we spent 4 times the price of a regular belt, and it didn't last even a year. What did I spend all that money for? So, okay, he needs a belt. We go back to the store to buy him a belt. So he looks at the belts. I said to him, this time we're buying the cheapest belt. 20 shekel, that's the belt. So he said to me, what about 40? I said, we could go 50-50. I'll cover the 20 I was prepared to cover. You want the better belt, you cover the other 20. So he starts haggling with me. I said, I'm not haggling with you. I spent top dollar on your first belt. I'm not buying another one. Not for anything more than 20 shekels, because nothing. The top belt didn't last more. I'm not doing that. So he wasn't happy. So I didn't think I should give in, because educationally, I felt he has to understand you should not put your money on beautiful things that are going to get ruined just as fast as something cheaper. There's no reason to waste your money on that. But I said, I really wasn't happy, because he felt that all his classmates had better belts than that. So I said, you find the belt you like. We don't have to buy it here. I'm willing to go to a different store with you. But I see no reason to pay more than 20 shekel. Fine. Reached time to go leave the store. I saw they had a sale on ties. 20 shekel a tie. I said to him, why don't you choose a new tie for Yom Tov? You don't have. You have one tie, two ties. Choose a new tie. So he went and chose a tie. Now, how much did I end up spending in the store? I didn't say a word. But he walked out and he knew that the 40 shekel he wanted on the belt, I spent the 40 shekel. But I spent it on a belt and a tie. I didn't sit and explain the math to him. I think he understood the math without my explaining. But the idea was, it's not that I'm going to be skimpy where you feel uncomfortable with your friends. That I won't do to you. If you want, we'll go to another store. You'll choose whatever belt is nice in your circles. But I won't waste the money. I want him to get the educational message. And the baseline of, if it's important to you, I'm willing to spend the money if it makes sense. I wanted both messages to come across. When we're dealing in a family structure, and we have to always find the way that the baseline, the understood message is, you're important to me. I love you. It could be that I have to make other moves because of your education or because other reasons. But the baseline has to always be, I love you. That's the basic message. So if Hillel taught us that, Negid Shema, you became famous, you should know you're on the way down. That's outside the house. Inside the house, we have a natural weakness. We want honor. However, even so, we have to temper that need we have. And remember that the main theme of the house cannot be the man's honor. The main theme has to be love. A house runs on love.